laws that didn't need to exist, he still wants them in his family. And so he's trying to highlight for them, be like, guys, you're missing the whole picture here. Like, you're missing what I'm doing. I'm here offering forgiveness to all people, no matter what they've done, and yet you guys are in jeopardy of missing it because you're claiming that I'm here just from Satan, and that you are rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit, and you're not responding to his call on your life or offering of forgiveness for you, and you are in jeopardy of actually being unforgiven because you won't receive the forgiveness. And so he's kind of highlighting that to them. And we see this here, this heart of God to say, I would love for every single person to become part of my family. You just have to receive my forgiveness, receive the work of Christ, and begin to follow me, and you're part of my family. And so that's kind of like the heart of, I think we see, of Jesus. He's offering this to everyone. But what's interesting to note here, and this is where we're going to kind of camp out more for today, is when he's talking to them, he says, don't you know that no one can plunder a house while a strong man is still there? First, you have to bind the strong man, and then you can plunder the house. Which might seem to you like, what in the world are we talking about? Obviously, Jesus isn't thinking of like going and stealing stuff from rich people's houses, right? But it's in the context of his ministry, right? It's in the context of what he's doing and what they're even talking to him about. They're literally talking to him about, how is it that he's casting out demons? And in the context of that, what we see here is what Jesus is referring to is not some sort of like house robbery. He's really saying, hey, I've come to offer freedom. I'm here to plunder somebody, but I'm not here to plunder like regular people's houses or wealth. I'm here to save people from the kingdom of darkness so that they can come into my family. I'm here to declare to everyone freedom and forgiveness and adoption into the family of God. I'm here to do these things, but the reality is for some of these people, they cannot hear or receive or believe or walk in this freedom until we bind the strong man in their life. See, when Jesus is casting out demons in the preceding chapters and all these things, and actually pretty much any time you see Jesus cast out a demon in all of the New Testament, you never see a story where Jesus aggressively goes to find somebody who has a demonic presence. He's not like demon hunting. He's not going out after somebody, you know. He's just doing his ministry. He's just preaching to people. He goes to locations, often isolated locations, and people who are demonically oppressed or possessed come to him, and he casts them out. And I think what we see here is what Jesus is saying and what he's doing is, I am casting out these demons. Why? Because I want them to be free and I want them to have an opportunity to respond to the gospel. I want them to have an opportunity to live in freedom and receive my forgiveness. And I know that for these people who are so under the influence of demons, they will not be able to hear it or receive it or walk in it until I bind them and cast them out. And that's kind of what he's highlighting here. Now, we're kind of gonna deal with the demonic a bit today. I know this is not something we necessarily talk about a lot, especially in the Western circles. But the reality is, especially as we read this, it's very biblical. Demons are real. This is something that we have to deal with as actual believers and followers of Christ. I've heard many different things. I know even a pastor once who said, if we leave Satan alone, he will leave us alone. That's not a true statement. It's actually a very bad idea. I think in a lot of ways, we've kind of just thought, if I leave them alone, if I don't think about them, if I don't deal with them, then nothing happens. But I think part of that is we have a misunderstanding even of when we look in the New Testament, when we're talking about demons, what we're talking about. The word that's often used to say that people possessed by demons, if you're looking in the Greek, it could be better translated instead of possessed as kind of a word that would say like demonized, okay? The reason that is that if you're thinking possessed, I think most of us are probably thinking of like all those horror movies that people make on like The Exorcist and things. And you're like, okay, I don't know what that looks like, but that's all I have. Because honestly, most of us haven't had any teaching on demons. So the only place we know is what Hollywood has shown. And I'm like, well, I guess that's what possession looks like. But really, when the New Testament is talking about this, it's just like basically demonized, so influenced by the demonic. Okay, so that could be anything from demons coming by you and saying, putting thoughts in your mind, whispering to you, influencing your thoughts with saying, hey, why don't you think about this? Trying to convince you it's your own thought of saying, hey, here's, you know, just a constant chatter that's in your ear trying to tempt you or place thoughts in your mind to get you to do something that you wouldn't necessarily do on your own. And that's kind of more like low-level influence, right? All the way up to an influence where you're saying, yeah, you're basically being controlled by the demonic. All right? And so when we think of demonic influence, we should really think about it this, not just like this idea of possession of some maybe movie you saw or an ad you saw for it, but we should think like, hey, people who are under the influence of the demonic may have a hard time living in the freedom of Christ and receiving all that he has for us. And if we haven't dealt with the demonic, if we haven't recognized that that's a reality, chances are, if you have no idea and you're trying to follow God, that there is demonic influence in your life that you're not dealing with and it's holding you back and keeping you stuck in certain areas simply because you've not taken your authority in Christ and bound the strong man so that you can experience freedom. So the reality is this. I think because we don't understand this concept fully of this, because we haven't seen that, then we don't really understand, well, what does it look like to, like, deal with the demonic? Like, I mean, most of us probably are like, I have no idea what we're talking about, and I've never really done that, and what does my authority in Christ look like? And so, I mean, obviously, like I said, one of the examples is simply this idea of kind of whispering thoughts in your head. The thing is that often when demons come to talk to us or kind of influence in that way, it's not like they sound like some, you know, ugly beast that's whispering in your ears like, that's clearly not me. No, it's going to sound like your own thoughts. They're going to whisper it in a way to you, influence you in a way that's going to try to keep you bound, that's going to try to keep you controlled and tempted, that you're going to be like, oh, wow, whatever it is that you're struggling with. And they usually come in ways that you already kind of naturally struggle with. If your thing is more on like lying or stealing or envy or jealousy or lust or all of these things, they're going to come help that. One of the ways that we would call this is kind of like they would help supercharge something. So, for instance, maybe you're a little angry at your spouse. You know, it can happen, right? And you're a little angry because they did something and you're like, that annoyed me. Like, for me, my wife is way more organized than me. But for some reason, that does not equate to the dishwasher. And every time I go in and she was helpful by loading the dishwasher, I'm like, now I have to just take it all out and put it all back in. And sometimes that gets quite annoying to me, right? But it's not that big a deal. But I've had times in my life where I'm doing that, and all of a sudden it just feels like I am getting so angry right now. Like so, like unproportionately, disproportionately angry to what the situation is, and it just fuels me. And sometimes after the fact, I begin to realize, oh, you know what? I think that wasn't just me. I think the enemy, demonic, was coming alongside me and basically like pumping up the volume of my own anger and rage to the place where I can't even think straight anymore. One of the times I remember this clearly is, I mean, people always ask me all the time with like five kids, they're always like, how did you manage it? Like, how is that even possible? And I'm like, it's possible. It's okay. It really is. But what I tell people sometimes is that, well, most of the time I feel like it's easier personally than having more kids. But every now and then, you know, if things get loud, it gets exponentially louder with the five kids. I remember a couple years ago, this is several years ago, they were all pretty young. And we were like trying to cook dinner or something. And all of a sudden, like, everyone was screaming at everyone else, and the volume level was like through the roof, and I'm like, I don't even know what's happening anymore, and Eric is trying to get the kids to calm down. I'm trying to get the kids to calm down. Nothing is working. I'm starting to like yell at everybody. Nothing is working. It's just a lot of screaming and yelling, and the anger level starts to rise and increase and all of these things. And thankfully, by the grace of God, I remember all of a sudden it was kind of God was like, why don't you pray? And so I said, okay, I just told everybody to like basically shut up. I was just like, everybody stop the noise. Just stop what you're doing, whatever. And everybody stopped. But you could tell like it was more like a pause of the insanity. I was like ready to come right back. And I was like, okay. And then I just stopped and we prayed and we just said, we come against any attacks of the enemy on our family and ask for the peace of Jesus to reign. And the insanity literally went away in an instant. The reason I share that story is that I think for those of us who are followers of Jesus, that kind of demonic influence and oppression often reigns in our homes and in our lives. And because we don't understand that we're facing it, we let it reign. And then because we don't understand it, we're not experiencing the full freedom that Christ has in store for us. And we're not able to respond and do the things that Jesus has for us because we're allowing demonic influence to run havoc in our lives. And I think we need to get this concept that Jesus is laying here of, no, we need to bind the strong man. And so I think there are levels of this. Now, that's just kind of a lower level, a higher level, I feel like, for believers. Sometimes we have things in our lives that we would call like strongholds, things that are really difficult for us. Maybe it's habitual sins, or like maybe just to pick one, things like fear and anxiety. This is an area that fear and anxiety at its basis level is really a sign that we don't trust the Lord, which would then be sin. Many times we're told to not be anxious about anything, to not worry, but to trust in the Lord. And so those things become sins. And the reality is that for some of us, we have chosen so much into that world that it just gets bigger and bigger in our life. And we don't recognize that by doing that, we actually can give demonic presences access to us to say, this is not a place that is honoring God. And without knowing it, we're giving them access to influence us on greater levels. And what can end up happening is that we then have a place in our life where we are unable to respond to God's messages of mercy and grace and love and compassion because we can't hear it, because the area of stronghold in our life keeps us from being able to do it. And the enemy then has a right, in a sense, to be there because we've, in a sense, not officially said, like, come in and be in me, but by our actions, in a sense, we've prepared a place for them to say, yeah, you can hang out here. I remember a friend of mine, through various things in his life, had given access from strongholds in his life to some demonic presence. And so I was actually at a class where we were supposed to be like, anybody want deliverance? They had a people that were doing deliverance. They had been taught how to do deliverance. And they're coming to do deliverance. And my friend raises his hand like, yeah, I think maybe I've got some stuff. So he raises his hand. And I'm like, okay, we'll see what this is. And I'm sitting next to him. But then all of a sudden, like, the deliverance team starts to come. They start to pray over him. And they were just other students. And they didn't necessarily really know what they were doing. And they start praying over him. And all of a sudden, this friend of mine starts speaking in a different voice. Starts coming under the control of a demonic presence, and it was freaky. I knew he knew Jesus. I knew that he was following him to the best of his ability, but he had had places in his life that he had chosen into that had given access for the demonic to influence him in major ways, and it was keeping him from being able to move forward in freedom in his life. Thankfully, that day, with help from the professor, he found freedom. The demons that were with him that he had there were bound. He was able to repent and renounce things that he had chosen into and choose into the loving power of God. And so he experienced that freedom. This is all in the realm here of people who've already said yes to Jesus. Because I think sometimes we think, oh, if I said yes to Jesus, I'm somehow just miraculously covered. You have the authority through the power of the Holy Spirit to bind the strong man. James says that as we submit to God, and resist the devil, he will flee from us. We have that authority. Unfortunately, I think many of us are not binding the strong man in our lives. And so we're constantly being stuck and bound, kept in captivity, instead of experiencing the freedom that can only come through deliverance. There's a whole other realm here, and that's for people who have yet to say yes to Jesus. The reality is, I think there's many people who are so under the influence of the demonic in their life, whether that's just from the whispering or full-on more like possession-like, or just somewhere in the middle of just, I've chosen into this life so much that we could go and talk to them all we want and tell them about who Jesus is, and we can show them the love of Christ, and we can explain who he is, and we can do all these things and just say, look at how good our God is, and we can explain this and show them and say, don't you want to be part of the family of God? And maybe they want to, but the reality is they're so bound by Satan, they can't hear it, and they can't receive it, and they can't respond to it until they're free. And I think there's a reality here for us as we're thinking through, how do we, as followers of Jesus who desire to see people free, free from captivity, free from bondage, free from these things that honestly, most of these things end up ruining people's lives. It's not enough just to say, here's Jesus. Some of these people need us to pray and ask for the Lord to deliver them, to come and say, we're going to bind the strong man so that we might welcome you into the family of God, so that you might experience the freedom that is only found in Jesus Christ. But until we begin to do that, it doesn't happen, because they're stuck, they're bound, they're captive. I think we're increasingly in an era and an age where people are not going to respond to just a simple, here's my tract on Jesus. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to get through to people. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to move in them, to woo them, to encourage them. We also need the power of the Holy Spirit to break strongholds, to deal with the issues that people are facing, to deal with the things that people have given themselves over to deal with the realities of brokenness. The way that the demonic can influence us is varied. But having said all this, I hope you get, we don't need to be scared of the demonic. Jesus is constantly going and casting them out with a word. The same power that was in Christ is in us. This is not like some battle between good and evil where who knows who's going to win, we might be sort of evenly matched. No. If we go to the end and we look in Revelation, all the symbolism of Jesus coming back is him defeating armies with a word, declaring it so. That's the side that we're on. Yes, demons are real. Yes, they have influence and power. But the word of the Lord is stronger. The word of the Lord is supreme and reigns. And the demonic knows it. And honestly, the demonic wants to do everything in its power to make you think that he's not involved in your life, so that he can keep influencing you, because he knows that once you begin to bind him and cast him out, he has to flee. He does not have a choice. I know this is a different sort of thing than we would normally kind of talk about all of this, but I really do believe that this is a very significant part Because there is a freedom in Christ that is only found through deliverance. I'm going to say it again. There's a freedom in Christ that is only found through deliverance. That deliverance is free for us who have said yes to Jesus. But we must take a stand against it. When you are barraged by the whispers and the thoughts of the enemy against you, you can take a stand and say, no, those are not my thoughts. I do not want to give in to that. I do not want to do that. I am not envious. I am not jealous. I am not lustful. I am not those things. Those are not from me. And I reject them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do that and watch as the thoughts leave and your mind is freed to be holy and pure and righteous. That as you feel the fear taking over, that you can remember that you have faith and trust in God, and that you can say, if there is any way that this is an attack of the enemy against me, I say no in the name of Jesus. And watch the fear leave. Now, every problem is not demonic, okay? There are things in our life that cause us to have anxiety and cause us to have fear, and part of that is wrestling with God. But if we never, ever practice the reality of our authority to bind the demonic, we will constantly find ourselves stuck and unable to move forward and wonder why nothing seems to change and nothing seems to work. And I want to encourage us all today to begin or to continue to take seriously the demonic, bind them, deal with them, and live in freedom. Can I just say too here that one of the things that I feel like one of the tactics of the demonic is often to convince us that we are too unlovable, too sinful, too shame-filled for God to love us or redeem us or any of those things. But clearly in this passage, Jesus says, don't you know anything is forgivable except for rejecting the Holy Spirit? I just want to even say today, if you're in a place where that's been your narrative, or you have felt like I can't go forward because there's no way I could be forgiven, that's not the truth of who God is. It's not the truth of the scripture or the gospel. It is not who he is. And that is a thought that whether it originates from your own head or whether it's so demonically originated or just supercharged by the demonic, it is a lie from the pit of hell that you can reject and say that is not true. God loves me, he is for me, and he has forgiven all that I have ever done and all that I will ever do. And I can walk in that freedom. I just want to encourage us today to be those who truly walk in our freedom and experience the freedom that can come through deliverance personally. But I also, as I said, I want to encourage us to be on the lookout for those around us who are bound and think through, how can I start praying against the strong man in their life? How can I start praying against the demonic influence against them? The imagery we have in Ephesians of the armor of God to take a stand against demonic things. One of the things that there is called the shield of faith. That's supposed to block the attacks of the enemy. The great thing about a shield is it can be for yourself or you can put it over somebody else. So that's part of the imagery here. Is whether they believe in Jesus or not, you can start to, with your faith, begin to say, God, block the attacks of the enemy on this person. Bind the influence of the demonic in their lives so that they might hear your loving words of freedom. And I really believe that for many of the people in our lives, maybe family members, friends, co-workers, neighbors who do not yet know Jesus and haven't experienced the wonderful blessing and new life that only comes in Christ, will not receive it until the strong man is bound. Are we willing to be those who pray for that? Are we willing to be those who go after that? And again, as I said, this is not about demon hunting. You know, we're not trying to be like Buffy or whatever her name was. We are here to help people enter into the family of God. And if part of that means we have to bind the strong man, then so be it. We will do it in our authority in Christ so that people can experience the full freedom in Christ that comes through deliverance. This is what we're going to do today. I think we kind of need to respond in some different ways. I'm just going to invite the worship team to come back up. We're willing to pray with anyone up front here. The front is going to be open to pray. I just want to encourage you, if you're somebody who you feel, if you know, because some people know this, if you know, I think I might be heavily influenced by demons. I think I might be in the place where, like my friend, I might sometimes come under the control of the demonic. We want to be able to pray for you and deliver you. I just want to encourage you that those kinds of situations are often better to set up in advance and say, let's get some people ready who are trained and ready to help you and to pray with you in a safe place where we can handle that. And if that is you, I would love for you to come talk to me and say, I would like to set up a time of deliverance prayer. And we will do that. Maybe not this moment, but we'll set up a better time that works for you. But as we're going to enter into prayer this morning, for those of us who maybe have never really wrestled with this, we didn't understand that there was even a strong man or a demonic influence maybe in our lives, I just want to invite you in a moment to just ask the Lord to reveal the places that the enemy is influencing you. Okay, so for some of us, I think that's what you need to do, is I think you just need to begin to ask Jesus, ask the Holy Spirit, where does the enemy have influence in my life that I have been unaware of? Okay? For some of you, you're like, no, I've got this. I've been walking in my authority in Christ for years. Can I ask you in this moment to be praying for those in your life who don't know Christ that might need you to lift your shield of faith over them? To begin to ask and go and show, maybe even ask the Lord to say, who are you showing me that I need to pray for right now? Who are you showing me that is bound in darkness, that cannot receive the light until the strong man is bound? I'm just going to give us a moment. I'm just going to open this in prayer. We're just going to sit for a moment, and then I'll lead us into communion. Jesus, we just praise you that you are a forgiving and loving God. I praise you that your heart is that none should perish, but that all should have eternal life. I praise you that your desire is to rescue all of us from our brokenness, sickness, diseases, and despairs, that you desire for a perfect eternity with you in heaven, and that you desire for all of us to walk in freedom, to experience the fullness of life here and now as well as later. We thank you that you are such an awesome, mighty God. But God, this morning we confess that for so many of us, we have been completely ignorant of our authority in you. We have been completely ignorant to the fact that the demonic is active in our lives or the lives of our loved ones or friends. And so this morning, God, oh Holy Spirit, I ask right now, would you reveal to us where the enemy is having a heyday in our lives? Would you reveal where his influence is in our lives? And would you give us the courage to begin to stand up to him? God, I also ask that you would reveal to us the people in our lives who are completely bound in darkness that need our prayers for freedom to come. And so just right where you're at, wherever you're feeling that God is leading you, just we're going to spend a moment here listening and praying with the Lord. As we take communion this morning, I just want to remind all of us that no matter what you've done, you are forgiven. That your guilt and your shame has been washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to read this over us. We often say this out loud together. This is the Apostles' Creed. But I just want you to receive this, to be reminded of who our God is. So I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. But on the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I want to invite you as you come this morning to the table, come and receive forgiveness, to come and receive freedom, to come and know that Christ died that you might experience freedom. As you come this morning and take of communion, there's a little wafer on the top and the juice is on the bottom. If you need to linger in prayer, the front is open for you. Anywhere else you want to spread out is fine. If you need to kneel, you need to sit, you need to stand, however you feel like you need to respond to God, we invite you to do so. I think Patty and I will be up here in the front. If you would like somebody just to pray with you, whether it's about what we've talked about today or whether there's something else on your heart that you just need prayer, please come up. We would love to pray for you. But I ask you today, please, if you are able, step into your freedom. As you receive, step into your freedom. Be delivered from what binds you. Be delivered from what holds you back. Be delivered from what keeps you stuck. He died so that you might be set free. And so on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant. It's my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." And so as we come, we acknowledge that as we confess our sins, that he is faithful and will just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so we invite you now as you feel led to come, be reminded of your forgiveness, be reminded of your freedom, and step into that.